So if you have your scriptures, we'll turn to the gospel according to Luke. We're in Luke chapter 12 this morning, verses 35 to 48. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you, it's page 871, if you'd like to follow along. As you're turning there, a reminder, there's some flowers and some candy in the back for you all to take for yourself and to share with others that you think would be blessed with some flowers to be reminded of the love of God that has for you in Christ Jesus. Last week, we looked at one of the passages that talked about to remember the lilies and how wonderful God has designed them and displayed His glory in the flowers of the field that are here just a short time, and to remind us that you're more important than the lilies. And so to remember, God really, really, really does love you. So think of those things. Let me pray, and then we'll read through our passage this morning. Father, we thank you for the time to worship this morning. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who draws us to yourself, who awakens us out of our fog, out of our sin, out of our darkness, to see the glorious risen Christ, this one who would live for us, who would die for us, and rules and reigns even now. And so, Lord, we pray as our shepherd, as our Lord, as our King, you would speak to us this morning in your word as you remind us that you will come again in your all your glory. And so, Lord, help us to have hearts that are ready, that we would be vigilant, that we would live each day knowing that any day there will be the cry of the archangel and that last trumpet. And so, Lord, we pray as we read through your word, your Spirit would move. I pray that you wouldn't allow the evil one to snatch it away. Lord, we pray that you would remove all earthly cares from our hearts right now, and that your Spirit would begin that mighty work of focus, of life, of feeding on your truth. For, as you said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And so, Lord, we pray that you do this by your powerful Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So Luke 12, we'll begin at verse 35. Jesus says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." Here ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says this morning. There are certain events people look forward to with great anticipation. Today is the Super Bowl. I believe it's the most watched, if not the most watched close to it, sporting event of each year. There's anticipation for the game, anticipation for the commercials, the food, the snacks. You could say it's an American holiday, at least. There are other occasions people look forward to with much anticipation. When you're a child, at least, not as we get older, but as a child, you look forward with great anticipation to your birthday, the cake and the presents and such. If you're a hunter or a fisherman, the first day of the season. If you're into music, the day that your favorite artist releases their music on Fridays, you approach that with great anticipation. And if you have any loved ones serving in military, when they go off, you await with great anticipation that glorious day they come back home. Today in our passage, Jesus begins to teach the disciples and you and me about the day of his second coming. The day that believers are to look for with great anticipation. The day of his return, the day of his consummation, the day of ultimate victory. Philip Ryken, he says, in Jesus is coming again. His second coming is the next big event in salvation history. It's one of the main promises of the New Testament. It's made in nearly every New Testament book. More than 300 times it's recorded that Jesus is coming again. He writes his coming will be personal. Jesus himself will return in his glorious resurrected body. His coming will be visible. Behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. His coming will be glorious. His appearing is the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And it's also imminent. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon." This is the Advent. Jesus is reminding his disciples, telling his disciples to be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. And he's saying to us, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you longing for his return to see his glory and to set things right? Reminds me of a story I came across after church where they had been taught about the second coming of Christ. A little girl is quizzing her mother. "Mommy, do you believe Jesus is coming back?" "Yes, dear." "Well, Mommy, do you believe he could come today?" "Yes, dear." Well, how about it in a few minutes?" "Yes, dear, I think he could come back at any time." And the little girl asked, "Mommy, could you comb my hair? I want to be ready to see Jesus." It's a cute story for sure, but it's a reminder that to be ready for Jesus, it's not about hair, it's not about our outward works, our outward looks. But his concern is that your heart is for him, it's towards him and towards his commands of how to live. And so as we begin to think about this idea of Jesus' return, we ask ourselves, how are we loving Jesus and our neighbor at this time? If Jesus showed up today, would he be pleased at how you're trusting him for salvation? That as you struggle against sin, he would be pleased at how you put your total dependency on him and his work on the cross for you, and that you strive to honor him and love him and love his church, love your spouse, love your sibling, love your enemy, love your neighbor. The doctrine of the imminency of Christ's return should motivate us to be ready. For as the scripture says, that the Lord will descend with the cry of an archangel, the sound of a trumpet, and he will come, and the dead in Christ will rise to meet him in the air, and we who are still alive meet him in the air and be with him for all eternity. He is coming again. And the question we need to ask ourselves, are we ready? So this morning I want us to look at three things that as we await Christ's return, that we are called to be ready, to be prepared, to be faithful. To our first sermon point is to be ready to celebrate with great joy. In verse 35 it says, "Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Be ready. Be dressed for action. Be ready with the lights on. In these couple of verses, Jesus relates his second coming as his master who went away to a wedding. And in those days, weddings could last up for 7 days. There wasn't an invitation that said the wedding would start now and be over at a certain time. It could go for days. And it could be over in the morning. It could be over in the afternoon or late at night. So while he's away, the servants are to be ready to let him back in when he knocks, when he arrives. To be ready to be dressed for action. And this takes us back to antiquity when people would wear those long robes. And in order to be ready, to be able to have their feet free, to be able to take a wide stance, to be able to run, they would have to hike up their robes and tie a belt around them to be ready, to be act, to be nimble, to be quick, to be ready, to be dressed for action and to have the lights on. To be ready to hear and to hear their master knock and say, "He's here. Go open the door," not worrying about turning on the lights, no worrying about where to find your place. The lights are on, the skirts are up. Let's listen for him. There he is. Let's go open the door. Our master is back with great excitement. That's the imagery Jesus wants to paint for us as we think about his second coming. To be ready in our hearts, in our minds, that the light of salvation is lit in our souls, in our consciousness, that when we hear the voice of Jesus, when we hear that knock of his return, we're ready to greet him with great joy and with great excitement. He's here. Perhaps that's why God gave us dogs to help give us a picture of that anticipation of joy we're to have. If you're familiar with dogs, or if you ever owned a dog, our dogs, our pets, wait for their masters to come home with great excitement. I don't know what they think about all day when I'm away, but when I come home, my dog, he gets so excited, he cannot contain himself. His tail is wagging so hard, and he has to say something, but he doesn't really want to, so he grabs a toy and just whimpers and cries with excitement. His master's home. He's home. And I wonder if God gives us those gifts of dogs to remind us that when we hear that knock, when we hear that voice of our shepherd Jesus, he's home, he's come back. As you wait for Christ's return, be ready to celebrate with great joy. It will be grander than any Super Bowl party, greater than any birthday party, greater than any wedding you've ever attended or dreamt of. It will be a wedding feast like no other as Jesus gathers his church, his bride. And the question is, are you ready to greet him? Are you ready to run to him? Are you ready to say, "Oh, Jesus, you're here. You're here." There will be a song on our lips, the song of salvation that we read in Revelation 5. "Worthy are you, O Jesus, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from all over this world. Every tribe, every language, you are here. You are worthy, Jesus, worthy of praise, for you were slain. You were worthy to receive honor, power, wealth, wisdom, might, blessing, and honor, and glory." And we'll sing with the myriads and myriads of angels and the saints around the throne. We'll run to him with great excitement. He gave his life for ours. And he's coming back for his bride. So be prepared. And be prepared to be blessed by this king. Jesus says in verse 37, he says, "Blessed are those whose servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants." Blessed are those who are ready, Jesus says. No matter what time he returns, Jesus uses the watches of the day, whether I come in the early morning, late afternoon, or in the crazy hours of the night at 3 a.m. He's telling us to be ready. Jesus has given this earthly imagery to challenge us in our hearts and our love for him. Are we loving him with the core of who we are, the core of our being? Not just lip service, not just saying, "Jesus, I love you with my heart," 1 hour on Sunday morning, but that he has our hearts all of the time, that we're awake, that we're in Christ. And Jesus says some interesting things here. He says, when the master comes and finds his servants ready, what happens? It's not the servants who serve the masters, but the master dresses himself to bless the servants. Jesus is saying, when he's returned, be prepared to be blessed by the king. We read last week, it was the joy of the Father to give us the kingdom. It's his joy to bless us. Jesus sings over his people, it says in Zephaniah, with great joy. He sees you as his lovely bride and he will treat you as such. Now we know heaven and glory is not about us, it's about Jesus, but Jesus wants to lavish you with grace upon grace upon grace. Jesus displayed this affection for his people when he washed the disciples' feet. He displayed this affection as he would take the form of a servant, becoming obedient to the point of death, to the death on the cross to secure your salvation. It's the heart of Jesus to serve, to bless his people. Find 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, it's written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And in Revelation 7:17, the Lamb is in the midst of the throne and he will be their shepherd. He'll guide them to springs of living water. And he'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Are we awake? Are we awake to the truths and the ways of Christ? Jesus says, stay awake. Don't fall for the lie that I'm not coming back. Don't be distracted by the temptations of your heart and the idols of this world. Your time here is short compared to eternity that's a breath away. He says, are you awake? Are you ready? If I return today, would I be pleased to where your heart is in relation to me? Are you trusting me? Are you following me? And lastly, Jesus says, serve him faithfully and make no room for false professions. Jesus changes the parable now. He shifts gears a little bit, has a different focus in verse 41. Peter says, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at their proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come at a day when he does not expect, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And the servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. And so Jesus is basically saying, serve him faithfully. Make no room for false professions. Be ready for Christ's coming. To be ready for that is having a salvation in Christ alone. Not in anything you do, not any of your works, not anything that you can accomplish, but you're trusting in Christ alone, through faith alone, but it's a faith that's not alone, as the Reformers would say. That you've come so alive in the things of Christ that you're becoming more and more like Jesus. You're becoming more and more holy, more and more beautiful, more and more loving, more and more gracious, more and more concerned about truth and justice and righteousness. Jesus, one commentator said, we should be doing what Christians should be doing if we're, say, we're ready to meet Jesus, if we're followers of Jesus. Jesus makes a warning. He says, if you claim to be one of my servants and you continue to live as someone who isn't his servant, it will be revealed and your punishment will be more severe than those who knew little or nothing of Jesus. Jesus the Master will not be mocked. Do not take the name of Christian on your lips unless Jesus is your Savior and Lord. And while we're waiting for Christ's return, what should we be doing as his people? We should live with a sense of urgency to honor Christ, to live in the ways of Christ, to share Christ with a lost world, that today is the day of salvation. When I worked at the machine shop for 16 years, there hung a sign in the shop that says, "Work with a sense of urgency." Growing up, my dad would teach us how to work. We would cut wood all summer. We would mow lawns all summer. And he would say, "Work with a sense of urgency." And we're called to do all things for the glory of Christ. To serve faithfully. To have our minds so enraptured with the Word of God that we are daily taking it in. That we are daily transforming by it. That we're living and becoming more and like Jesus in how I relate to you. How I talk to my boss. How I talk to the gentleman on the bus to work. As I talk to the bully at school. As I talk to enemies around me. We are supposed to be transformed. That they say, "You look like Jesus." And somebody will be so convicted by it, they will come to faith, and other people will see it and they'll say, "I hate you." And Jesus says, "Stay faithful. Be ready. Be ready for when I return. Be more and more like Jesus with a sense of urgency. Let your conduct, let your thinking, let your lips, let your thoughts, let your heart be driven as you rest in Christ, driven to be more and more like Christ." That's the wise and faithful servant. He who has much, much will be required. We have the Word of God. We live in a time when we have it on our phones. We can listen to it on the radio. We can listen to it on our computers. We can listen to it. And ask yourself, the time that you devote to getting to know Christ compared to what you're searching for on social media, where's the balance? Where's that at? Where's that in your thinking? Before you voted to call me as your pastor about 6 years ago, it's hard to believe it's almost 6 years. On the night before that day, there was a dinner downstairs so we could get to know each other. We had the opportunity to ask each other questions, and one of the questions at the end was, "What is your expectations for people's involvement in the ministries here? What's your expectation for people's involvement in the ministries here?" And it's a great question. And I answered with a question. I know what I want. But more importantly, we all have to ask ourselves, am I doing what Jesus wants? Would Jesus be pleased with how I'm living for him? Would Jesus, if he showed up today, say, "You're doing good"? Would he ask us, "Well, why were you wasting so much time?" It's questions we all have to ask. There's always more to do, and we all have different seasons of life that we're walking through. Jesus is asking, "Are you living for me? Are you trusting on me? Are you depending on me? Are you ready? Ready for action? Are the lights on? Are the lamps burning in our lives?" R.C. Sproul says, the biblical concept is clear. We are called to be stewards of the earth, stewards of everything that God has entrusted to us. This is our Father's world, not ours. My house is not my house, it's God's house. My life isn't my life, it's God's life. Everything that I have, I'm a steward for the Lord, and he will require from my hands faithful and wise stewardship of all that he gives to me. And Jesus says, "Serve me faithfully. Make no room for false professions." J.C. Ryle writes, he says, "Are we ourselves living as if we're ready for the second coming of Christ?" That would be a good question for us to ask more frequently. If we asked us if we were ready for Christ's return, it might keep us back from daily sins in our lives. It might keep us back from backsliding. The true Christian should not only believe in Christ and love Christ, we should also look and long for his appearing. Come, Lord Jesus. A gentleman was visiting a certain school, and he said that he would give a prize to the pupil whose desk he found in best order when he returned. Some of the students asked, "When will you return?" "I can't tell you." A little girl had been noted for her disorderly habits, announced that she was going to win the prize. You, her friends jeered at her. Your desk is always out of order. Oh, she said, but I'll clean it the first day of every week. But suppose he should come back at the end of the week, someone asked. Well, I'll clean it every morning. But he may come back at the end of the day. And for the little girl, she thought, I'll know what I'll do. I'll just keep it clean. How do we get clean? How do we get right with God every day? Christ and Christ alone. It's Christ and Christ alone. Every day, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Lord Jesus, just lead me this day to live for you, to honor you. He will clean us up. It's never our works. It's never about us. We get convicted of sin. We turn from sin and we turn to Christ. But we always rest with Christ. Our Psalm 24 we use for our call to worship. Who can ascend the hill of God? He who has pure hands and a clean heart. That's none of us except for Jesus. But you unite yourself to faith to Jesus, and God declares you righteous in his sight because of the Christ's righteousness applied to your account. It's all Jesus. And he who begins a good work in you will bring it to completion. You trust him each day, every day. Lead me, Jesus. Lead me, Jesus. Lead me, Jesus. That's how we stay clean. Let him clean us up from the inside out. Are you ready for his return? Are you ready for action? Are the lights burning in your heart for the things of Christ? Is your heart fully surrendered to him and his ways? As Paul says, the Lord will return with the voice of an angel, with the command, with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive will meet him in the air. We'll be with the Lord forever. Are you ready to celebrate with great joy? Are you ready to be blessed by this King? Are you ready? Well, today is the day of salvation. Turn to him and receive his mercies, for they're glorious. Taste and see. He is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Heavenly Father, that this world that was full of sin, full of wickedness, full of rebellion, that you loved this world, that you would send Jesus to die for it, to redeem it, to restore it, to make us new creations in Christ. And Lord, as Jesus, as you have come the first time, you will come again as the conquering King. And so, Lord, help us to live with that joy. Help us to live with that anticipation that you will set all things right, that you will bring vindication to your people, that there will be a day when our tears will be wiped away. There will be a day when there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more disease. And we'll live in glory and in righteousness in your presence, being so in awe and growing in that awe and never ending in that awe. And so, Lord, in this time where we live in this already and not yet, that we are already forgiven in Christ, will be completely restored in Christ, give us hearts of great anticipation, knowing the Son of Man can come at any hour when we least expect it. May we be ready. May we be ready. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.